if I don't do what he say, he look like he'll snap in a minute. And so what actually happened is that oftentimes the flesh don't want you. Y'all hear this today. I'm not going to be before you long, but I'm going to tell you something today. While I was here the other night, we were here at the funeral even, and God began to speak to me while the funeral was going on, and God said to me, it's time for transition to take place in the church. It's time for the church to come to the place of wholeness that God has ordained that it's supposed to come to. The kingdom of God has got to be revealed in the church before it can be revealed anywhere else. So how is everybody that's coming to church and not attentive, or don't understand the reality of knowing who you are, how in the world do you make the church worth more in value when you don't know who you are yourself? So you got to understand that you got to seek after God so you can know who you are. The order and the structure of things in the church is really the visible kingdom of God in government established so that we can come together and put all of our minds, all of our spiritual mind, all of our spiritual hearts together, all our desires together, and then see God move among us. See miracles move among us. See, when you start thinking kingdom, you don't think about what you're doing. When Jesus came down here to suffer and die, he wasn't thinking about himself at all. He was thinking about us. We didn't have no understanding. We didn't have no knowledge. We didn't have a whole lot of nothing other than sin in our life. And so the only thing that he could come and do was to hear the strategy of his Father telling him how to destroy sin through his obedience. We were talking the other day right outside here, and I was listening in my spirit. A lot of things were being said, and God said, the reason why the church don't really know its real value is because most of the people in the church don't know who they are. A lot of folks think you just come to church just so you can be in here on Sunday service, and when you go back home, the neighbors say, girl, you're dressed up in your Sunday clothes. And I can guarantee you that the suit you got on or the dress you got on won't give you a bye to get into heaven. You still going to have to live holy. You still going to have to live right. I'm come to a place that when God began to speak to me, I began to hear the voice of God. I want to obey everything that God's telling me. So if I have to break the mold of stuff that I've been doing for 50 years, I've got to break that mold because I want to make it in. I don't know about y'all. But I don't want to live my whole life long and then die and go to hell. How many know that the greatest mockery in your life is for you to be in the church all of your life and then get funeralized in the church and leave and get put in the grave. And then the minute you hit the grave and your spirit is totally lifted permanently away from your body, the first thing that you look up and you see hell's fire burning. One of the greatest mockeries that you can imagine is to think that you're good. The Bible says if a man thinking himself to be something when he's not, he only deceive himself. Now I'm finna say something that probably gonna make some folks mad, but that's all. You'll get over it. You'll remember it. A lot of times in the church, y'all, we come to church and we think just because we're here, that's all we need. We just need to hear a little good word. And listen. It doesn't do any good to hear a good word and don't put it to practice. I'm saying, God, what time is it? What time is it in the hour that we live in? And God said to me, he said, the people of God got to know what time it is. Now, I'm going to throw a curve at a lot of y'all because I know y'all ain't going to be ready for this. In God, there are three manifestations of God in Scripture and in the earth realm. The three manifestations of God are all essence of word. When you look in your Bible, everybody look at your Bible, look at the Bible that your neighbor got. The Bible that you're looking at is what? It's written word. So the first thing that you are in God is your written word. Let me help you out so y'all looking at me strange. When it comes to God putting you into time, he's got got to first get you out of his mind. So the only way that God can get you out of his mind, he's got to conceive the thought of who you are, fashion you, mold you, and make you, call you, choose you. He got to give you a gift and ability. Then he's got to say, and let there be. And it's only until God said, let there be, the better ray appear. And when she appeared, she's not appearing just as a person. She's appearing as the word of God made manifest. So the first, now I'm trying to help y'all something, because a lot of us still don't understand the value of what our real worth is. We don't know what we really are. See, if you keep looking at yourself in the flesh, if you keep looking at your human spirit, if you keep looking at your natural ability, you'll never know who you really are, because the fullness of who you are is the image and likeness of God. The second manifestation of who we are, that same word that you look at, in order for the effectiveness of what you are, the gift, to spread and to become a witness in the earth by example, is you got to get the words off the pages and put them into your life. So now you got to start going around taking the words off the pages and then saying what the word says. If you don't say what the word says, first of all, you'll never have a prayer life. Because how many know that you can't pray the will of God unless you're praying the word of God? Because the word of God is his will. When you start praying the word of God, you can't take dominion over nothing unless you pray the authority of God's word over whatever opposition facing you. I know this might sound a little strange to some of y'all, but I'm trying to help you get ready for battle, because I'm telling you something. Most of you don't know the pinnacle place of what we're standing. If President Obama does not win again, the United States of America is getting ready to go through H-E double hockey sticks. Because everywhere you look around, there's stonewalling going on. It's stonewalling going on right here in Alexandria. A lot of y'all don't even understand it. What your real value is and what the real power of God in you is, even as a body and as a people to come together and begin to pray and decree God as your source. Nothing can stop you if you know who you are. But if you keep putting confidence in the flesh, keep putting confidence in the mayor of Alexandria and see what's going to happen. Y'all still going to be on the same backwood part of the city that folks don't care nothing about you. They don't care nothing about your suffering. They don't care nothing about the food that you have or don't have. They don't care nothing about, listen, the education your children getting or anything else. The reality is they will be downtown. They'll be on the north side of town. They still will be building and won't send a nickel to Samtown Woodside to do nothing. Keep sitting in the church hollering hallelujah, and you don't start decreeing this word. I'm telling you, if you want to change the atmosphere of this whole entire city, start speaking the word of God in the atmosphere. A lot of us don't understand that, but literally, even in your house, if you want folks in your house to change, if you want your children to start changing and become subject to God, start loosing the word of God in your house. Get you some anointing oil and pray over it and ask God to change the natural order of his suffering to a supernatural anointing of healing and deliverance and restoration. And then go through your house anointing the pillar. If the husband acting a fool, anoint his pillar. Don't say nothing to him. Anoint his pillar and see what will happen. The power of God's word will transform him before he even know what happened. You sitting there laughing at him. Oh, he rolling all over the floor trying to figure out what that got hold of him. Yeah, it's God that done got hold of him. See, let me tell you something. Too many times in wisdom, y'all, we give up our secrets too fast. See, when I got folks around me, you know, that's why I stay on the road a lot. Because I have folks around me that, in all honesty, I love my family with all my heart. But I ain't going to hell for nobody. So when I'm spending time in prayer and I'm studying the Word of God and the Holy Ghost is revealing things to me and a whole lot of noise going on, I just ease away to a little place in the back of the house somewhere or downstairs, and I keep right on talking to God. And when I get from God what he gives me, I don't care what they do or what they don't do. I'm still going to obey God. I'm still going to be who I'm supposed to be. A lot of y'all let people change the identity of who you are. I know you don't like this, but I'm telling you something. See, there's something that God is depending upon New Scott Alley to do and to accomplish that. It just ain't going to come through Lonnie L. Smith. It's going to come when everybody in the church becomes one man, and that's the pastor. See y'all, let me help y'all. I'm black too. Let me help y'all understand something. We by nature, and listen, I don't have anything against any ethnicity, Mexican, white, anybody else. But I want to show you a point, illustrate something to you. At a time in history, when it came to the building, even of this nation, the number one people in the whole entire world that was the strongest generation of people, or the strongest ethnicity of people that build, that architect, that drew out plans, that drew out structures of building, that to this very day, folks still don't understand how folks without education can do something like that. That was us. And yet, y'all, some of the most prolific folks that's on welfare is us. And we don't take the time to really look at the reality of what's going on. We just think that everything's okay as long as I got my little bit. Long as I got my little cone over here, and I got my two, three little jalopies, a hoopty sitting in front of the house, everything is fine. But can I tell you something? God didn't create you just to give you a car so you think that you got everything or what you need. He really created you that you would reproduce yourself in the life of as many people as you possibly could, following the leading of the Holy Ghost and using his word as the strategy to win souls. That's your whole reason for being saved. You don't get no peace with God just because you put your name on the church roll. You get peace with God when you know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and you've given him the authority to rule in your life. So a lot of times we have an experience in the church that Jesus is coming in, he's touching our hearts, we're repenting for our sin at the moment, and then we get right back up and go out and start doing the same stuff all over again. And that's just like Daddy used to tell us all the time, go out there and wash that sour down, boy. And we'd go out there and get the hose pipe and spray the sow down. And we wasn't too much crazy talking about grabbing him or nothing. But we would spray him down until most of the dirt was off of him. And then after we spray him down, we could have put a yellow rose, pink rose, gold, blue, anything we wanted to. Right after we finished, guess what homeboy did? Went right back to the mud. So all of what we did was in vain. Can I tell you something today? If you understand the order of God's word and the order of the house of God, the Bible says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Listen, when your leader or when a vessel of God stands in front of you and begin to speak as the oracle of God and begin to tell you what God is saying, he wants you to know that's the word of God being manifested in the image of God through a vessel so that God can tell you strategy on how to get out of what you've been dealing with. I was in a lot of us think sometimes that we're the only ones that do certain things when it comes to stuff that happened in society. I was in a church, an all-white church, and all of a sudden I said, the Holy Ghost said to me, he started laughing in my ear, and I said, God, I said, people gonna think I'm crazy. He said, I don't care. He said, tell them anyway. So God said to me, tell the people that they don't know the true value of what sonship is all about. They don't know the true value of what it means to be a steward or a servant in the kingdom of God. God said, tell them that from the very beginning of time. Now, most of y'all know this. I'm not trying to bore you. But most of y'all know the reality in the beginning of time, God created everything in the universe. And then he said, come here, Adam. I want you to be in charge of all of this. So the first man that God created, the first job that God gave him was a steward. The word stewardship means manage what God has given you. Let me stop right there for a second, because a lot of things in the church that should have been done 10, 15 years ago can't be done because a lot of us are not managers the way we're supposed to be. Not only are we not managers with money, but we're not managers with our time. We'll spend more time going everywhere else than we'll spend time in the church doing what we're supposed to be doing, finding out who we really are. We'll spend a lot of time doing a whole lot of nothing, and the church will be sitting waiting for people to come in and start doing something. I was talking to my brother. We were out a couple of days ago, yesterday, whatever, and I was saying, something ain't right here, bro. I said, now, I know it's got a lot of brethren in the church here. Let me make them mad. I said, but why are you riding this lawnmower when all these knuckleheads? See, there are some things that I can say and get away with it that he can't say. You can get mad at me all you want to, and I don't keep you 6'8", weighing 285 or 400 pounds. I ain't scared. I ain't grew up that way. So when I got the Holy Ghost and when I understood order, you can't give honor to somebody that you turn around and abuse. Let me help you out. If stand up, if you would. Stand up, sir. If this man is a millionaire and I want to come into millionaire status, the first thing that I got to do, I got to value him for what his worth is to me. And I got to make sure that he don't have to deal with a whole lot of craziness, because I want his attention so that the wisdom in him can transfer to me and I can get the wisdom that's going to elevate me to the status of where he's at as a millionaire. Most of y'all don't understand this. Should no pastor, bishop, elder, or nothing else be running around mowing no yard when you got all these men in the church? Get mad if you want to. This is just as much my home as it is yours. And listen, I'm not saying it and boasting in the flesh, but what I'm telling you is the mind of God is you got to get out of your comfort zone. How can I honestly say that I reverence this man? I'm passing by blowing at him while he out in the hot sun riding a mower, and then you say you love me. That's probably why I ain't passing now, because. But I'm saying, God, help us to understand the real value of what our worth is, because we don't understand how to treat one another. Can I just get real for a minute? A lot of y'all sitting in here today got friends that are out in the world and still doing worldly stuff, and yet you're in the church every Sunday almost. And yet folks out there don't bit more respect you, because they don't see any honor in what you're living in God. And the reason why they don't see no honor is because you in the church and they passing by just like you are, and they seeing your pastor, your bishop out cutting grass. Yeah, and you riding by with the air conditioner on, rolling the window down for a second, waving your hand as you passing by. How in the world are you going? Listen. Let me help you out with something. See, by the order of God in kingdom, the way the kingdom is, even from the foundation of the world, the reason why God made trees that had seeds in them, because in God's mind, he said, everything that I make, notice something in scripture. In the book of Genesis, everything that God made, he said, he turned around and said, and it is good. And the first day, and then the second day came, and he said, and it is good. So everything that God made, so on the sixth day after God made man, he said, and it is good. So how in the world can God himself say that who I called, who I chose, who I put in charge, everything about the order of what I want them to do is good, and yet the only somebody know about it is him. I go everywhere, y'all, and I'm telling you, I dedicate my life to this because I don't want the people of God. I can care whether folks get mad or not. Get over it. The reality is, I don't care whether folks get mad or not, because when you get in a comfort zone and when I see the potential in Samtown Woodside of what God had to put into this house and what you all can turn into a city within a city, it grieves my spirit when I come in here and I see all the potential. You got carpenters, you got plumbers, you got teachers, you got CPAs, you got all of this in the church and ain't nobody doing nothing with it. And I'm sitting there going, God, what in the world is wrong with our people? What's wrong with us? We always talking about what Mr. Charlie doing. We always talking about what they doing on the other side of town. We always talking about Southeast. What's happening over in the Southwest? Where you at? And the problem is, it starts, y'all, that we don't know how to value one another. We don't know how to value one another. For time and season, in ministry, I dealt with going to places, and I was focused on teaching, and I was focused on teaching revelation about women. Because in 2009, 2010, around about that time, 2010 mostly, there were preachers, there were men that still didn't know how to accept women in the pulpit. And I like talking about stuff that people like, shh, don't talk about it. No, I like to talk about it. I like talking about stuff like that. And the reason why I like talking about it, because I want to root you out of your comfort zone. Who done died and made you in charge and made you think you God now, that you can tell God who he want to stand up or not stand up? I'm sitting here going, now, listen. Every preacher that get up in the pulpit, the first thing they holler is, well, listen, let's go by what the word of the Lord says. If I were to turn to Numbers, the sixth chapter right now, and most of you would read Numbers, the sixth chapter, in the beginning when God said, the first thing I need to do in the church among my people is I need to number my people among the number of men that are heads over their families. In this day and time now, we'll have a problem because there are a lot of men in the church that are not head over their own house. I just want to help you out because, see, as long as we keep living a lie, we'll keep having the benefits of that lie waiting on us after we've stayed in church all of our life. You'll go, and the lie that you've been living will wind up being a lie that you face that'll send you straight to hell and into the lake of fire with no justification. Because you wanted to stay in your comfort zone.
God bless you. We hope that this message has encouraged your heart. We invite you to come worship with us at our Sunday school service beginning at 9 a.m., our morning worship service at 11 a.m., Bible study every Wednesday night from 7 to 8. If you would like to correspond with this ministry, you can write us at 2627 Willow Glen Road, Alexandria, Louisiana. Again, thank you, and may God bless you.
What will people think when they hear that I'm a Jesus freak? What will people do if they find that it's true?
Hey, what's up? This is Toby Mack with news of another real-life Jesus freak.
Every year, Christians are laying down their lives for Christ. Each death is a loss and a victory. As Paul wrote in Philippians, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Still, we grieved at the Voice of the Martyrs when we heard that on July 1st, four gunmen pushed their way into the home of Muhammad Yusuf Bhatt and shot him to death. He was a friend and a vibrant voice, sharing Christ with Muslims in Kashmir for more than 15 years. He leaves behind a wife and three children. Will you join in prayer for the family and legacy of Muhammad Yusuf Bhatt? For more, go online to persecution.com.
God bless you. We hope that this message has encouraged your heart. We invite you to come worship with us at our Sunday school service beginning at 9 a.m., our morning worship service at 11 a.m., Bible study every Wednesday night from 7 to 8. If you would like to correspond with this ministry, you can write us at 2627 Willow Glen Road, Alexandria, Louisiana.